So neither pain nor pleasure describes us on the occasion on which a sensuous profitable consciousness has arisen accompanied by equanimity. I don't think we should use equanimity for feeling. Neutral feeling, I think, is a better word. Equanimity about insight is a name for equanimity consisting in neutrality about investigation described as. It is more or less the same as equanimity about formations. Because equanimity about formations has to do with vipassana meditation just as it is. This equanimity about insight is. What exists, what has become, that he abandons and he obtains equanimity. Equanimity as specific neutrality. This is the real equanimity, which is one of the mental factors. In Pali it is called tatra majjatata. The next one is equanimity of jhana. It's a name for equanimity producing impartiality towards them. So this is also not feeling upekha. It is jhana upekha. It is the specific equanimity. And the next one is purifying equanimity. It's a name for equanimity purified of all opposition and so consisting in uninterestedness in stilling opposition described thus. Since all oppositions are purified, since it is purified of all oppositions, there is no interest in stealing them, because he has achieved stealing the opposition. So after this achievement, he has no longer interest in stealing them, because they are stilled already. That is called purifying equanimity, and this is also the specific equanimity. Now here in six factors, equanimity as a divine abiding, equanimity as an enlightenment factor, equanimity as specific neutrality, equanimity of jhana, and purifying equanimity are one in meaning. One in meaning means one in reality, one in essence. And that is equanimity as specific neutrality. Their difference, however, is one of position or occasion. Like the difference in the single being as a boy, a youth, an adult, a general, a king, and so on. Therefore, of these, it should be understood that equanimity as an enlightenment factor, etc., are not found where there is six-factored equanimity. They are mutually exclusive. And that six-factored equanimity, etc., are not found where there is equanimity as enlightenment factor. Just as these have one meaning, that means just as these are the same in essence or in reality, so also equanimity about formations and equanimity about insight have one meaning too. For they are simply understanding, panya. So these two are not the specific neutrality, but they are really understanding or panya, because they arise during vipassana meditation. For they are simply understanding class and these two ways according to function, just as and so on. Then down to the end of paragraph 170, equanimity of energy and equanimity of feeling are different both from each other and from the rest. That means equanimity of energy means just energy, and equanimity of feeling is the neutral feeling. So how many the equanimity we get in essence or in reality? Specific neutrality, understanding, energy, and feeling. So in essence, there are four kinds of upekkha. In detail, there are 10 kinds of upekkha. So whenever we see the word upekkha, we have to understand which upekkha is meant here. Then, in this phrase, he dwells in equanimity. What upekkha is meant? Specific neutrality, not feeling upekkha, because we are still in the third jhana. In the third jhana, there is still sukha, which is not neutral feeling. Sukha is pleasurable feeling. So here, equanimity means specific neutrality or impartiality. And he is mindful and fully aware and experiences sukha, both bodily and mental, with his mental body. Now, paragraph 176. It is better in translation than in the original Pali. In the original Pali, it is the sentences are very involved, and then the commentary they used many relative pronouns, and one relative of another, and then that is and then the other relative of that, and so it goes on like zigzag. It's very difficult to understand. I don't know why he wrote that way. But in the translation, it is better we can understand. So, now, he feels means he experiences. He experiences sukha. The word sukha is used in the Pali. And here, sukha means both bodily sukha and mental sukha. Now, when this jhana arises, there is this sukha feeling, pleasurable feeling. So when there is pleasurable feeling, he cannot help but experience it. Although he has no intention that I will experience or I will enjoy this sukha. Since that sukha feeling is accompanying the jhana, he just experiences it. So here, by with his mental body means other mental states. Now, when the third jhana arises, there are other chetisikas also arising with it. So there is third jhana consciousness or third jhana cheta, and then there are chetisikas, right? So among these chetisikas, there are piti, sukha, and ekagata. These three are jhana factors, and actually they are called jhanas. The other concomitants are here called mental body. So there is one consciousness, and then let me see, 33. There are 33 chetasikas. So there is one cheta, third jhana cheta, and 33 chetasikas. And among them, and there is feeling, there is pleasurable feeling, which is sukha. And since sukha arises together with other mental concomitants, the person is said to experience the sukha with mental concomitants. So mental concomitants are here called mental body. In Pali, the word kaya is used. And then, when this third jhana arises, it causes material properties to arise, because matter is caused by some matter is caused by karma, some by citta, I mean consciousness, some by climate and some by food. So when the third jhana citta arises, it causes material properties to arise too. And since it is very refined state of mind, state of consciousness, the material properties it produces are also very, very fine and very subtle. And that very fine and very subtle material properties are the tangible objects. And that also the meditator or one who has jhana experiences. So that feeling or that feeling arises through contact of his body with other tangible things, tangible objects, like sitting on a soft cushion or whatever, something like that. So during the time when the third jhana arises, he is said to experience mental sukha with his mental body and physical sukha also with mental body. Because what we call feeling or vedana is mental in the mind. And what we call feeling or sensations generally is the material properties in the body. So suppose there is pain here, and pain is a collection of material properties here, and we feel that pain, and that feeling of pain is in our mind. So when we have a good touch, say there is a feeling, so that good touch is material property, and that we feel in our minds as sukha, as pleasure. So here also, when a person gets a third jhana, his mind is so refined that it produces very refined material properties, and that these material properties are all scattered through his body, or pervaded his body, and so he feels very pleasant sensations in the body through mind. So that is why it is described as experiencing sukha with his mental body. So mental body means a group of mental concomitants, or a group of mental factors. And he enters upon and dwells in the third jhana on account of which the noble ones announce, with regard to a person who has attained the third jhana, he has equanimity, he is mindful, and he dwells in sukha. And why do the noble ones recommend, or I think praise is better than the word recommend here. In praise of, you say something in praise of something, right? So here, in the noble ones praise this person who has attained the third jhana, because he can keep himself impartial, not attached to even the very high form of pleasure, sukha. And his mind is so, he is so mindful in such a way that he can keep piti from arising. Because at the third jhana, piti does not arise. That is why this person is worthy of praise. He can keep impartiality and he can keep away BD by being very mindful. And he dwells in sukha, which is experienced or enjoyed by all noble persons. That is why he is worthy of praise. So in order to praise him, they say, this person has equanimity, this person is mindful, and this person dwells in sukha. And in this jhana, there are how many factors? Three. What? Three or two? You have to understand this is four-fold method, not five-fold method. So only two, right? Sukha and ekagata, the unification of mind. So two factors. Yes. Okay, this is our third jhana. Then, after third jhana, we go to fourth jhana.
But when it says here, he has equanimity, is mindful, and dwells in sukha, that is mindful is not the third factor of mindfulness. What do we say is mindful?
Mindfulness is with all jhanas. Mindfulness can never be without jhana, or jhanas can never be without mindfulness. But here, his mindfulness is so good that it can keep piti from arising. So when you pay attention, close attention to what's happening at the moment, and you can keep even piti away from you, piti from arising in your mind. That is why he is praised as having mindfulness or being mindful. Not just ordinary mindfulness he has. This is very powerful and refined kind of mindfulness. And he dwells in sukha. And this sukha is not an ordinary sukha. It's very unmixed or unsullied, and it is the one experienced or enjoyed by noble persons. Now we go to the fourth. Now, he has to do the same thing to find fault with here, what? Sukha. So he is going to neutral feeling now. So in this paragraph also, about the middle of the paragraph 181, you know, the knowing there, so it should not be knowing, but when the fourth jhana is about to arise, there arises in him mind over advaiting, and so on. Now, fourth jhana is different from other jhanas, because the fourth jhana is accompanied by neutral feeling. But the first, second, and third jhana are accompanied by pleasurable feeling. Now, when we talk about the different conditions in Patthana, there are 24 causal relations in Patthana. We call them conditions here. So when we talk about repetition condition, then since it is repetition, it must be of the same nature. That means when moments of consciousness arise one after the other. The previous consciousness or mental concomitants arising together with previous consciousness can be a condition as repetition condition of the succeeding consciousness only when they are of the same nature. That means pleasurable must be followed by pleasurable. Neutral must be followed by neutral. So if neutral followed pleasurable, there can be no relationship as repetition. So in this fourth jhana thought process, pleasant feeling is not a condition for neither painful nor pleasant feeling, and the preliminary work must be aroused in the case of the fourth jhana with neither painful nor pleasant feeling. Consequently, these consciousness of preliminary work are associated with neither painful nor pleasant feeling, and here happiness vanishes simply owing to their association with equanimity. What's that? Now, what the commentator is saying is, the pleasurable feeling cannot be a repetition condition for let us call it neutral feeling. Now, in the fourth jhana, there is neutral feeling and not pleasurable feeling. And if you look at the thought process, the jhana consciousness is preceded by four or three moments of sense sphere javanas or impulsions. So, since in the first thought process, since number five is accompanied by neutral feeling, the others must also be accompanied by neutral feeling. So that is what the commentator is saying. That is the only difference. In the previous jhanas, the sense sphere impulsions are accompanied by pleasurable feeling, and jhana movements are also accompanied by pleasurable feeling. But in this thought process for fourth jhana, since jhana must be accompanied by neutral feeling, the preceding kama vajra javanas must also be preceded by neutral, also be accompanied by neutral feeling. So that is the only difference. That is what is what the commentator is saying. And here, in this translation, there is some error, because I'll read it again. But there is this difference. Blissful, pleasant feeling is not a condition as repetition condition for neither painful nor pleasant feeling. And the preliminary work must be aroused in the case of the fourth jhana with neither painful nor pleasant feeling. Actually, you should say, and in the fourth jhana, neither painful nor pleasant feeling must arise. Not, it is not in the preliminary, but it is in the fourth jhana. The neutral feeling must arise. There must be neutral feeling. Therefore, the consciousness of preliminary work, that means kama vajra javanas preceding the rupa vajra javana, must be accompanied by neither painful nor pleasant feeling. And here happiness vanishes simply owing to their association with equanimity. Here equanimity means neutral feeling. Because neutral feeling is feeling, and happiness or sukha is feeling. So if it is happiness, it cannot be neutral, and if it is neutral, it cannot be happiness. So since the full jhana is accompanied by neutral feeling, there can be no sukha feeling there. There can be no pleasurable feeling. So here, happiness vanishes simply owing to their association with equanimity. It may be a turn-off for for many people, because if happiness vanishes, what are we to do? But happiness here is a pleasurable feeling. So the neutral feeling is considered to be higher than the pleasurable feeling. So in this full jhana, pleasurable feeling vanishes, and in its place, neutral feeling arises. This neutral feeling is so refined that it is almost a kind of sukha. Although it is not technically sukha, it is the kind of sukha which such people enjoy. So the fourth jhana. With the abandoning of sukha and dukkha, and with the previous disappearance of somanasa and domanasa, he enters upon and dwells in the fourth jhana, which has neither pain nor pleasure, and which has purity of mindfulness caused by equanimity. Now, with the abandoning of sukha and dukkha, and with the previous disappearance of somanasa and domanasa.
What is dukkha?
You know, there are five kinds of feeling. Sukha feeling, dukkha feeling, somanasa feeling, domanasa feeling, upekkha feeling. Sukha feeling and dukkha feeling are connected with body. It is experience in the mind, but it depends upon the physical thing or body. So they are called sukha and dukkha. And somanasa and domanasa are mental feeling, a feeling of pleasure in the mind, and a feeling of anguish in the mind. Now, when you hit your finger with something, there is a pain here, and then you have the experience of that pain or feeling of that pain in your mind, and that is a dukkha feeling. And when you think of something and you are sad, then there is domanasa feeling. Or when you are angry, there is domanasa feeling. So they are different like that. Here, with the abandoning of sukha and dukkha, and with the previous disappearance of somanasa and domanasa. Now, when we read this, it would lead us to mean that the sukha, dukkha, somanasa, and domanasa are abandoned at the moment of, or just before, close to the moment of fourth jhana. Now, the abandonment of these four, sukha, dukkha, somanasa, and domanasa, occur during the preliminary stage of the four jhanas. Now, during the preliminary stage of the fourth jhana, somanasa is abandoned. And during the preliminary stage of first jhana, dukkha is abandoned. And of second jhana, domanasa is abandoned. And of third jhana, sukha is abandoned. So actually, they are abandoned during the preliminary stage of these four jhanas. Now, that is why they said, with the previous disappearance of somanasa and dominasa. So, sukha, dukkha, somanasa and dominasa are abandoned or eliminated before the moment of fourth jhana. Before reaching the fourth jhana, there are preliminary stages. And during these stages, that is, during the preliminary stages of first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and also fourth jhana, these feelings, sukha, dukkha, and so on, are abandoned. Now, there is one passage in the suttas where it is said that they are abandoned during the jhana stage. So the commentator pointed to that passage and then tries to explain it. Now, it is true that they are abandoned in the preliminary stages. But their abandonment there is not intensive. Let me see, what do you use here? Reinforced cessation. So their cessation in the preliminary stages is not strong or not reinforced. But at the moment of jhana, there is reinforced cessation or reinforced abandonment of these things, these feelings. So in the passage pointed out by the commentator in the Sutta passage, only the reinforced cessation is meant and not just the cessation. So that is why it is said that during the stage of jhana, these are abandoned. So in fact, these two statements are not against each other. Now, paragraph 187. For accordingly, during the first jhana excess, which has multiple adverting, I don't like the word multiple. Actually, it is different adverting, not multiple. Because in a thought process, there is only one adverting, either five sense door adverting or mind door adverting. There can be only one adverting. So here, jhana access, which has different adverting, means the preliminary stage before reaching the jhana thought process. Now, when a person tries to get jhana, he practices meditation, and he gains first the preliminary concentration and then excess concentration. So during the stage of excess concentration, there are moments of this preliminary work. And these moments consist of the series of thought processes. And so in each thought process, there is only one adverting. So, first jhana access, which has different adverting, means while a person is trying to attain first jhana, but not yet reach the first jhana thought process, then those stages are called the jhana access with different adverting. If it is with the same adverting, then it will mean the jhana thought process itself. Here, it is not jhana thought process is not meant, but those occurring before the jhana thought process. And those thought processes, each of those thought processes has one advertent. But they are different in different thought processes. Therefore, there can be many thought processes of excess concentration before reaching the jhana thought process. So that the Pali word nana can mean many or different. So here it means different. So which has different adverting, there could be re-arising of the bodily pain faculty. Bodily pain faculty simply means pain, bodily pain, due to contact with gut flies and so on. So on page paragraph 188 too, we should strike out multiple and replace with it with different, which has different adverting. Then, if these feelings are abandoned during the preliminary stages, why are they mentioned here? Here, all four of them are mentioned in this passage describing the fourth jhana. And the commentator explains that it is done so that they can be easily understood or easily grasped. Paragraph 190. It is done so that they can be easily grasped. Easily grasped means easily understood. For the neither painful nor pleasant feeling described here by the words, which has neither pain nor pleasure, is subtle, hard to recognize, and not readily grasped, not readily understood. Now, among the feelings, the neutral feeling is the most difficult to see, most difficult to understand. Pain is obvious, and also good feeling, sukha, is obvious. But the neutral feeling is difficult to see, although one experiences neutral feeling, one is not aware that that is neutral feeling. It is so difficult to understand, so subtle. So here the Buddha wants us to understand that neutral feeling, maybe with in comparison with other feelings. So it gives all five feelings here, and then this is the feeling which is the most difficult to understand, or something like that. So just as when a cattle herd wants to catch a refractory ox that cannot be caught at all by approaching it, he collects all the cattle in one pen and lets them out one by one, and then I would say saying, that is, it catch it, and so I would strike out and so two words. So saying that is it catch it, get it caught as well. Not it gets caught, get it caught as well. That means let other people catch that that cattle. So this is the one I want to catch, and so catch it, so the other people catch it. So it should be after gets, and so should go. So the sentence would run like this: and lets them out one by one, and then saying, that is it catch it, gets it caught as well. So do the Blessed One has collected all these five kinds of feeling together so that they can be grasped readily. For when they are shown collected together in this way, then what is not bodily pleasure or bodily pain or mental joy or mental grief can still be grasped in this way. So what is not sukha, dukkha, somanasa and domanasa must be upekkha. So the fourth jhana is accompanied by neither pain nor pleasure or neutral feeling. And it has the purity of mindfulness caused by equanimity, and that is specific neutrality. Actually, not only mindfulness, but all mental factors, all mental things are purified in this jhana. And so it is stated, the teaching is given under the heading of mindfulness. That means only mindfulness is mentioned, but we must understand not mindfulness only, but all others headed by mindfulness. Is there an expression about that? You understand what I mean? Sometimes we do not say all what we want to say, but we let people know by saying something different from what we really want to say. Say, I want you to understand that mindfulness and others are purified by equanimity. But what I really say is, mindfulness is purified. So, I name mindfulness only, but I mean mindfulness and others. What do you say it in English? It's a way of speaking. Something like a figure of speech.
You might say mindfulness and so on.
So I don't say so on, but I just say mindfulness. But you must understand that I mean mindfulness and others. Sometimes we say the president comes, but he doesn't come alone. He comes with others, but we don't mention others. Something like that.
Shorthand. Sometimes we say shorthand. We just say a little bit, it's understood, the rest is followed.
So in that way we should understand here, purity of mindfulness does not mean purity of mindfulness only, but purity of mindfulness and other concomitants.
It's like the abbot always travels with his assistant and with his jisha and with his wife.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You say the abbot comes.
That's right.
Four or five.
Yes. Yeah. So whenever you find in this translation, the phrase under the heading of it means this. Under the heading of mindfulness, that means taking mindfulness at the head of something. You just say mindfulness, but you have to understand not only mindfulness but others as well. So this is the fourth jhana. And how many factors are there in fourth jhana?
Two.
Because instead of sukha, there is upekha. So upekha and ekagada, unification of mind, two. So the third has two, and the fourth has also two factors. This is fourfold method. There are four jhanas according to this. But if you want to experience five jhanas, then you go about eliminating vitakka and vijara separately. First, you try to eliminate vitakka, and then you get the second jhana. And then you try to eliminate vijara, and then you get the third jhana, and so on. So in that way, there are five jhanas and not four, but actually they are the same. Depending on whether a person eliminates vitakka and vijara at the same time or separately, one at each time. So in the, let us say there are four jhanas on the left hand side and five jhanas on the right hand side. So the first in fourfold method is the same as first in fivefold method. Or let us say The first and fivefold method is the same as first and fourfold method. And the second and third and fivefold method is the same as second and fourfold method. And the fourth and fivefold method is the same as third and fourfold method. And the fifth and fivefold method is the same as fourth and fourfold method. But you'll find the mention of four jhanas in the sutras. You very, very rarely find mention of five jhanas in the sutras. Only the four jhanas are mentioned in many, many sutras. But in Abhidhamma, the fourfold method as well as the fivefold method is mentioned. So that is the end of chapter 4, and there will be break for next week. So the week after next we'll continue, and let's see how many pages.
Yeah, no meeting next week.
No meeting next week.
The meeting retreat. They will start up in 2 weeks.
So please read two chapters. Chapter 5 and chapter 6.
What two factors are there in the fourth jhana? Equanimity and...